Welcome to the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast with your host, Steven Martinez, a.k.a. Mega Man. This is episode 274. I have a very special guest. He's my first guest for 2023. Boy, this guy has an up-and-coming podcast show called the Gentlemen's Club Diary Podcast. And oh boy, because this guy... I'm going to tell you, this person I'm going to introduce right now, he has a very underrated podcast and everyone follow him. My guest for this episode is the man himself, Invincible. All the way, he came all the way from the IE, baby. Invincible, what's up?
Yeah, what up? Yeah, it wasn't too shabby, man. You know I'm always out here, so.
Yeah, shout out to the IE Foos.
Yeah, shout out to the IE Foos. I'm from the SGV, so, you know, I got love for everything.
Yeah, the SGV, they don't mess around over there, Pomona style.
Yeah, P-Town style. But I got love for everybody. Shit, wherever you from, it really don't matter.
Hell yeah, man. So let's talk about it, man. How was the Valentine's yesterday?
Shit, V-Day, man. You know what? Since I'm kind of on my little single tip right now, I just was working, man. I was just working on what I'm doing.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Usually those strip clubs, you know, there'd be a lot of single men out there on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you know what? Valentine's Day at the strip club is interesting because you do get a gang of fellas in there. You get a bunch of girls. So
do they bring their wives?
Nah.
There's some that I heard they do.
Yeah. I don't know about Valentine's Day, but that would be interesting to get them on.
Hell yeah. And I want to say this. Shout outs to all the maids doing the beds and the sheets right after Valentine's Day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Shout out, did you bring your flowers for your side chicks and all that and your side men? Come on, man. They're special too today on a hump day Wednesday.
Yeah, hump day. You know what? Speaking of Valentine's Day, because I have worked on Valentine's Day at the club. And you do have a gang of fellas. They give, you know, they might give the girls some roses or something like that. But as far as them bringing in ladies, nah. But they do bring in a lot of girls on other days. So I witnessed a lot of that.
How many? What was the most girls who walked in? It was like a girls' night. Went to a strip club, like 10, 20.
One time we had about like 30 girls. And they came in two party buses.
Oh, wow.
Like big ones. And they came up in there. And I think it was like on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Mid shift, like day shift, they came up in there and all girls. And I didn't have a whole squad. Like I might have had like 8-9 girls during that time. And one of the girls that came in the bus, she said, "Hey, I want to throw the girl that's about to get married. I want to throw her on the rail. How much is it to get her on the tip rail?" I said, "Shit, give me 120. I'll throw her ass up."
Wow.
So they're like, "All right, cool." So she shot me the money. Threw her up there, got all my dancers up there, and they did a full-on show. It was nice, man.
That's dang.
Had money throwing everywhere. It was a nice.
Fuck.
Yeah, it was super nice.
I heard on one of your episodes that there's sometimes, in a way, there's crazy fanatics of, you know, the customers know the right type of strippers.
Yeah.
But I noticed, I heard an episode saying that there was a person like sleeping in a tent to not pay for a cover charge.
Oh shit, you heard that one? Yeah. Okay, look at this. Is when I was kind of new to that industry. Mm-hmm. It was crazy because I've always been around it. I've been around a woman. I knew the girls. Shit, I knew them before. You don't even got to introduce me to the strip club because I knew girls from way back.
Because I never heard of that. I never seen that before.
So what happened was, I was a new manager at the time. I'm locking up the door, and there's some dude with the stakes on the grass. We had like a little grass area in the front, and he's like putting the stakes out to hold the tent down, and he's digging it in the grass. And I said, "Yo," I said, "Bro, what are you doing?" You know what I mean? He's like, I'm setting up my tent." And I was like, "What do you mean? You plan on staying here?" He says, "Yeah, I want to stay here so I can get here early in the morning. I don't got to pay a cover charge."
How much is the cover charge?
I mean, in the morning, it might be like $5 or $6.
What a frugal.
So
Walmart.
So I made him get that shit out and get out. But so we had dudes like that.
Have you ever had like customers who are stalking some of the strippers? Like, "No, that's my girl." And
Yeah, all the time. You have customers that will come in and bring girls gifts. They'll bring them gifts and they feel like that's their girl. And so they'll get very jealous if they see that girl spending too much time with another customer.
Oh, I seen that. Okay, back in the day when Mega Man was a player, Sucio, I used to go to Fantasy Castle in Long Beach, right there in Signal Hill, you know, and all that. I seen some crazy ass shit at that one night.
Oh, I know a lot of girls there.
Yeah. I seen a person get stabbed because I guess, like, boyfriend came and stabbed one of the customers.
Shit, I got stabbed there, man. So I'm not, you know what I mean? I keep it real.
That is just, for some kind of reason, it's like, what made you decide to go into the stripping, like, you know, game?
Okay, I'll keep it real. I was kind of, like, I was doing my music thing. And my friend, he had hit me up. He's like, yo, he always knew kind of my background, too, with the girls and stuff. He's like, hey, man, I want to kind of, I want to get you into this. He was managing. He's like, I need your help, and if you would want to check it out. At the time, I was like, nah, it's not. I'm already doing my own thing. I already have my, like, photo studio. I was kind of running my own business, doing my own stuff. So I checked it out, and the club was the worst club I ever been to.
Really?
Yeah. So he got me to meet the very owner of the club, and then it kind of just worked his way from there. I tried it out, and I'm kind of a, like, I always thought of myself as a problem solver. Like, you give me a problem, I'm going to try to fix it, at least do my best to fix it.
Yeah.
They gave me the problem. I said, let me bring some of the girls I know up in this bad boy. And to be real, our club was, man, our club was cracking, bro.
What city was it? Was this in
Anaheim,
Orange County?
Anaheim.
Oh, wow.
So if you, during the pandemic and after the pandemic, it was cracking. Now, what had happened was there was so many fights and people, you know, I got stabbed, got the DJ getting shot, and a lot of these incidents happened, and it kind of killed the momentum of the club. But the club was, like, cracking. It was, like, money being thrown everywhere, fucking everywhere money was being. It was, and we had a lot of fine-ass bitches there. Like, if you went there, you'd be like, damn. Like, I hired a security that worked in the music business with me, and he was like, bro, I ain't never seen no shit like this. Like, we'll have like 40 badass bitches there, top notch from all over, baddest bitches, because they know if they went there, they're gonna make money.
Yes, that's wow, man. Just hearing these episodes and hearing a lot of the women, you know, like, hey, I'm just want to get my money and get the fuck out.
Yeah, some of the girls are about that, but you know what? What I find interesting is some women, they want to just go there just to party and just to chill. They ain't really tripping about paying their little stage fee, because the girls got to pay a stage fee to actually work.
I heard something about that.
Yeah, yeah. So when they'll come in, like, if they come, the later they come in, the more money they got to pay at most clubs. So because they know that the later they come in, they're going to have more traffic. Like, we have better customers later on in the night, most of the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get those business guys during the day. But if they came in later, they got to pay more. So a lot of the bad bitches would come in later. They already knew, like, shit, I'm getting there at 8, 7. So a lot of the time, some girls that would come there, they'll just come to chill. They ain't tripping. They come get drinks, get the customers to buy them free drinks, and they get me to yell at their asses to go out there and go make some money.
Mm-hmm. Damn. I might have to go back. I don't know. I'm going to see what's up.
You got
to
check it out. I mean, I know the game, so I know kind of how everything runs behind the scenes. And as a, I never really been like a customer, but I always enjoy strip clubs. You know what I mean?
Because this is the thing about, like, having you on, because now with you starting a podcast and sitting down with the ladies and stuff and understanding them, observing, and, you know, they have a lot of history, a lot of stories, you know, stripping and behind the scenes and all that stuff. What made you decide to start this Gentleman's Club Diary podcast?
So what happened was, I actually wanted to do a gentleman club etiquette where, and I'm probably still going to do that, but I wanted to do something where, because I witnessed funny shit in the club. You witness guys recycling money. That's like the common thing. And recycling money is when guys are throwing money at the girls, and then they run out of money, so they start picking up the money and
what
throwing it back
to
you. Know what I mean? So I witnessed that a lot, man. A gang of times, people just picking up the money, throwing. Like, I witnessed that a lot. I witnessed, like, the steak guy. I witnessed crazy. This mechanic went in there. I won't ever forget this. This is like when I first started. A mechanic was getting a lap dance. He was all, like, greasy, oil all up on him. And the girl comes out, and she has oil handprints on her back. And I was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? What? I was like, baby, you got to go in the back and go clean up. You know what I mean? So I see the girls in a different light. You know what I mean? I know, like, we look at them like, oh, they're bad. They're this. Oh, shit, I witnessed them fucking peeing in the dressing room on the floor, them peeing on other girls' shit, them taking shits and plugging up the restroom, and them fighting up. Man, I witnessed so much shit.
That's shady.
Hey, I witnessed all kinds of shit.
Cat so, fights, huh?
That was all the time. Girls will be up in there fighting over the dumbest shit, too.
Fighting over a man who fucked both of them.
But most of the time, what we had a lot of issues with is girls taking each other's bags. They'll be drunk, so they'll put on other girls' clothing and walk out with their shoes, walk out not knowing. They're not intentionally doing it. They're just so fucked up, they don't know what they're grabbing.
I heard stories of some strippers, you could probably know about this, strippers who are depending on them to make all the money where their boyfriend or their dad are not even doing shit. And they're just watching them, like, oh, whatever, make that money.
Okay, so there's a girl I know. She's a good friend of mine. Like, anytime I call her for a photo shoot, something, she'll come through. And she has a dude that she complains about, that she's holding it down for her dude.
Mm-hmm.
However, she cheats on her dude. You know what I mean? And I told her this. I said, hey, can a stripper ever be faithful? And I would say negative. You know why? Because they're in that element a night. They're probably 30 to 50 dudes they talk to a night. And they're drinking with these dudes. You're going to tell me you're drinking, getting a little buzz, there's not going to be one or two dudes are slipping the number two?
Nah. With their business cards and everything, but you got to have that swag to really pull off a stripper. Again, I heard some of your episodes. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, hey, you know what I used to do back in before I was even in that industry? I would go to a strip club and see if I could pull a girl, try to get there. But let me keep it real. Most of these strippers got dudes. They're seeing somebody, but they fight with them. They have their issues. But yeah, it is very hard. Would I trust a stripper? Probably not.
I don't. You can't make a stripper to a housewife.
Nah. But check this out. I could make a lot of money with a stripper. I could show her, I could lead the way, and she can, if you can lock down a stripper that makes money, you can do a lot of things with it, invest that money into a lot of things. So it can go hand in hand if you can get the right stripper. But most of them, they're like girls out on the street. Some of them are hoes, some of them are cool, some of them, I'm not going to say they're all hoes, some very little are good girls. But out there in the real world, like how many girls are legit girls?
They're just trying to get theirs.
They're trying to get theirs.
So with a lot of these strip clubs in Orange County, i.e. in LA, I mean, they're all different, you know? There's some that are shady. There's some that are, you know, profitable. There's some that are, they keep it very professional. I mean, mm-hmm. have you went to some where, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, you know what? So me managing, I got to see kind of the ropes. Like, I've been a strip. Our club was kind of up-tempo, where it was more floor dancing. Floor dancing is the girls shaking. Like, say me and you went to the strip club. Mm-hmm. We bought a bottle, and there might be two or three girls that come to our section, and they start dancing on us, and then we just tip them money. So they're basically giving us lap dances the whole time while we're drinking our drink, and they're drinking with us, and we're just kind of partying together. That was kind of our club. There's some clubs that do not allow that. They don't want that kind of environment. And then there's other clubs that, like the Fooly Nudes, they might be fucking in the back, you know?
I was going to get to that. Mm-hmm. I rarely see strip clubs that are fully nude, but I heard stories about that. Let's go meet me in the Boom Boom Room or whatever.
Yeah, the Fooly Nudes, they might, a lot of those clubs are known for fucking. Now, I'm not saying that all of them do, but some of them do. And I'm cool with it because I know the game. And if that's what they're going to do, keep that shit in there. The topless bars, they're not really fucking too much in there. Now, I'm not going to say that not all of them don't fuck, because some of them do.
Yeah, they just got their side thing, man.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this story one of your guests talks about, where she said, you know, if you're broke, don't even go to the strip clubs. Just stay home. If you don't have no money, call the Bud Light boys.
So shout out to the Bud Light drinkers. So there was a common theory that Bud Light drinkers were cheap. And you know what? I witnessed it, man. Bud Light drinkers were somewhat cheap.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, this is real. So when I would open up the club, we always had like five or six guys trying to get in there right before I'm even open. They're like there ready to get in the door. And I'm like, bro, like chill out. My bartender ain't even here.
What?
Like I'm the guy setting up everything, grabbing the money, I'm the one doing everything before we open. So I locked the door. As soon as I open that door, they're in there. And so sometimes I would bartend the first 5 to 10 minutes as they come in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys, yeah, the guys that buy like a single beer and just sit there, those are the cheap guys. Yeah, the single beer guys, yeah. What I had too is I had this one guy. He would go in there and get a pitcher of beer. I don't know exactly what he would get. It might have been like Miller, High Life or something. I don't know what he got. But he would get something, and he would just post up in the back. This is every Sunday. He would come on his bike, get a pitcher of beer, chill out in the back, not get a dance, nothing. Just look at the girls and drink his beer right there in the back.
Interesting. Just yeah. Want to chill. Just like, hey, just want to kick back. Chill. Just
wanna, maybe he gets it in his mind and he's like, all right, I'm going to go home and go do my thing. But he would do that.
I can see that. I can see he just wants to be by himself, chill, you know, just kind of see, you know, mm-hmm. and all that.
Maybe get away from his wife or something.
Maybe she's feminist. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hashtag Andrew Tate. Did you hear the story what happened today with Andrew Tate?
No, you know what?
They framed him. Oh, they framed the brothers.
Oh, damn.
The girls were just hating. And all that shit happened. And there's no evidence, nothing. They're going to be let go.
Oh, okay. So he's cool. Yeah, you know what? I was hearing a lot of, like, shit on him. And, you know, I don't know enough about him. But I have seen some of his stuff and what he's talking about. He says some real shit.
He's a real shit. And he's for the men.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you see the stuff going on with all these feminist women. And, like, mm-hmm. I don't need no man in this, whatever. And, you know, he's, and like, you know, with Jordan Peterson. You have Kevin Samuels, RIP. He passed away, you know, a couple years ago, but his legacy lives on. He's like, I'm not going to have a woman just walk over me. You know, like, hey, there's standards. But, you know, just for some kind of reason, he kind of puts these ladies on check. Like, hey, that whole feminist shit, I don't fuck all that shit.
Yeah, I think we live in a day and age where, like, the whole cancel community is kind of bullshit because it's almost like we can't say what we really feel. And for instance, I've curved bitches just because of the fact of if I sense they're trying to use me, I'm like, bitch, kick rocks. Cause it ain't going to work with me. Like,
oh yeah.
Like I'm not going to, I got like, if I wanted to, I have a handful of girls I could choose, pick and choose of who I want to fuck with.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm fucking with you, like I feel like, hey, it's a privilege for you to be fucking with me. And I hold that much value on myself. It's not that it's on cocky shit. It's just I'm confident on who I want to chill with. So if I'm chilling with you and I feel like you're trying to use me, nah, you're going to get kicked to the curb real quick.
Yeah, I see that. And there's a time where I took a break from dating and all that. And I see like, well, I don't want to date no more. I'm just, mm-hmm. just take a break. But there's a lot of women who are kind of like men, females, like they want to be the boss. And this, or they was like, well, what do you want? Like, you're looking for your fucking beta, fucking cuckold, fucking man? What the fuck? You want a follower?
Some girls like that, though. Some girls want a guy up their ass. Some girls want to be in control or feel like they're in control.
Some girls like to fucking peg men.
Yeah.
That's like, you heard some crazy shit like that in the strip clubs?
Oh, in the strip club, there's a lot of shit that goes on. Like, one time I had this girl. She comes up to me. She's like, hey, this guy wants to get a lap dance. It's not a lap dance, though. He wants to get a piggyback ride. And I said, what do you mean? He wants to jump on my back, and I walk back and forth in the dancing area. And I said, wow, what are you trying to charge him to do that? She says, it's going to be $175. I said, for how long? She says, he just wants to do it for a few minutes, a few songs. I said, go do that shit.
Wow. So
he didn't want her to get naked. He didn't want nothing. He just wanted to jump on her back. She walk around in her heels back and forth, and somehow he got turned on. I don't know how he got turned on, but he got turned on by that.
There's a lot of people who have a lot of fetishes. A
lot of fetishes.
Wow.
There was another dude, too. He would go in there. He looked a little odd. He said he had a some type of dominatrix female or something like that. That would text. Like he would show the text messages from whoever that person was texting, and she would request him to do certain things. So whether the dancer would spit in a cup for him or the dancer would pee in a cup, something like that. And he would, I don't know if he would drink it or I don't know what he would do.
Damn. How long have you been working at the strip clubs?
Over 3 years now. So I've been.
Oh, you baby.
Yeah.
But so, you've seen a lot.
Oh, I've seen a lot. I've been, like I said, I've been around it for quite some time. So, mm-hmm. you know, I get it. I mean, it's probably over. I don't know how many years, but it's been a while.
Damn. Because when I first heard of you, you were a guest on Rhodium Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And you grew up in Pomona.
Yeah, yeah.
Pomona's on the come up right now. Yeah, in the SGV, though, it's all coming up right now.
Yeah, P-Town, straight up.
Man, but Pomona was like back in the day in the 90s, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, everybody kind of knew about Pomona. Yeah. So, yeah, we knew it. And that's where, you know, I started my music career, too. So, you know, I started with a guy named Jimmy Robinson from Hot Tracks, which a lot of people... If you're from Pomona back in the day, you would know who Jimmy Robinson was from, you know, from Hot Tracks. Sugar Free gives a shout out to him on the one of the what's that? Vlad TV says Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
So Jimmy was my manager. He was kind of somebody that took me under his wing, and then you know, cocaine above the law and then. But,
above the law.
Yeah.
Is he over there? I think he's over there in the Northwest, right? Like
I don't know. Seattle? Oh, that's cocaine.
He's cocaine, yeah.
Yeah. He's
How's he doing? Is he doing good?
As far as I knew, he was doing cool, and then I think he was like recently in the hospital. You know what? I haven't reached out to him in a while, but I believe he's cool.
Okay. How's the music coming along? Are you still doing music? Still?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like music is just. I'll keep it real, man. Doing music kind of led me into really all this shit because music has been like a connection to everything. Mm-hmm. For me,
yeah, because I saw the video you had. Was it you, Too Short?
Yeah,
and I was like, ooh, okay, here's some Barry. Because I used to live in the Barry, so yeah, Too Short's like God, you know, over there. But have you worked with a lot of artists over there in the Barry?
I got one friend. He's big on the clothing. Like he sells a lot of interesting, crazy clothing to like a lot of the rappers up there, E-40, all them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my boy Choppa. But he wears like TV screens and his clothing. Anywhere he goes, you're gonna know who he is.
The reason why I say that for because in the Bay Area, and we used to live in Northern California. I have to call so-called Central Valley because a lot of people are like, "Hey, we're NorCal, we're this, we're that." So when the Bay Area music and stuff, it's different. So when you living in Sacramento, Modesto, and all, you have those hardcore rappers like Brother Lynch, X-Rated. You got Sebo and all that stuff. So it's like. Pretty hardcore. Then you have your mixtures of a lot of artists over here in Southern California. So it's like a melting pot, but you just got to find that right type of music.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, man. So I mean, I linked up with Short because you know what, I've always been like, even back in the day, man, I would throw these shows, you would never know, like even the strip club, like me talking about. So I was managing for, you know, probably over 3 years, right? However, I do my own events at my spot. Like, we do parties and private events. So I'm always around booking things, booking artists, or I might be a piece that you may not even know that I'm part of.
Like music videos. I see a lot of rappers doing music videos in strip clubs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I've actually helped a couple artists book the club that I was at, and they've used it for a music video. I shot my music video with Too Short. At the club that
yeah, because you have your studio there, and that's where you do the podcast over there too.
I do the podcast at my studio. I'm currently in moving, so you might see the element kind of change the until I get situated. But I'll be situated.
What's in store? Like, you know, being an artist, you got in a podcast. What's in store? What's up? Talk to me.
Yeah. So what I'm doing, I'm working on this thing called. So I'm kind of trying to tie in the music with the strip club shit. So I'm doing this thing called Freakaholic. It's gonna be like all freak type music, and I'm already almost done with it. So that's the first thing that I'm gonna do. I might get into some conscious music. I don't know. I feel like as an artist, just have fun. And I think the life experience, I'm trying to experience life to the fullest potential that I can live it. And whatever I leave behind, people are gonna, you know, whatever seeds I can plant,
leaving a legacy.
Yeah, legacy. It's all about legacy.
Yeah. What do you feel like now with the music now? Because there's so much music and. Do you feel like it's getting oversaturated? Because, you know, back in the day when we all used to have MySpace and it's like, oh, this is music here, whatever. Because I'm more like old school. So it's hard for me to like, hey, check out this, check out this. It's like there's so much categories.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know what? Someone was telling me that he actually likes the music of today. Now, I'm not the biggest fan, but I think there are some really dope artists coming out, too. I do think it is saturated because everybody thinks they can make music. Just be based on the equipment, that it's a lot easier probably to do music now.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was doing it, working with that dude, Jimmy, it was like, man, we would spend hours working on shit. Even, like, working with Battle Cat, like, we... If I'm working with Battle Cat, I knew I'm fucking working. Like, we're going to work.
What do you think about this whole thing about this Chicano rap thing? You see, it's all over, like, people like, oh, I'm the best, I'm the best. It's like, It's like this whole thing with, like, King Little G, like, is he considered, like, the best Chicano rap, or Conejo, or Little Rob? It's like, dude, we're all winning, dude. Like,
you know what's funny, man, is, so my cousin, he was, like, telling me about this, and you know what, I got black friends, Mexican friends, I got everything, like and I kind of got a little overwhelmed with just people putting you in a category. I'm like, bro, when you listen to Prince's music, or you listen to Mike, do we say, oh, we're listening to black music? Like, they're black artists, right? But we don't really count. We just, it's great music. So I feel, as me as an artist, I want to create great music. Whether I'm fucking Mexican, like, people, like, if you didn't know me, you probably wouldn't even know I was fucking Mexican rapping. You would probably be like, who is that dude? And I think people have made me feel alienated in a way because of the way I might sound. But I feel like if I'm creating good music, it shouldn't matter what the fuck I am. And I feel like for any of those artists, Little Rob makes dope ass music. He might categorize him for Chicano or whatever, but I feel like as artists, we're artists. It doesn't matter what color you are, we're all artists.
That's what I was thinking, because when people are like, oh, he's Chicano rap, no, he's an artist.
He's an artist.
That whole thing is.
You know why? Because now you're segregating yourself to just be part of the Latin community, right? Mm-hmm. But the blacks, they might not know that this motherfucker's dope. Maybe you're not giving the blacks an opportunity to embrace that, right? Or the Asians, or whatever it is, because you're just putting you in a category. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, nah, we should be wider, broader. We should be able to reach whoever, just fans of music.
I just see where you see these pictures of a lot of the black artists are helping each other climb up the ladder. But when it comes to Chicano rap artists, like, they're just pulling each other down like crabs in a bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the what is that called? The something crab thing.
Crabs in a bucket. Yeah.
So, you know what? It's funny you're bringing this up, because I thought about it too, man. I feel so. I had a friend. His name was Big Sight from the Thug Life Outlaws.
Ooh.
That was my boy. And he used to put me up on game, bro. Cause I used to look up to, you know, growing up, we looked up to West Coast rap, right?
Yeah.
And when we started hearing Chicano rap, like, I remember Spanish Fly. I remember a gang of lighter shit. Like, when we heard that shit, we're like, dope. Cause we have
fun. Proper dose.
Yeah. Fucking feed them behind it. Right. So we kind of had that we're like, damn, we got the Mexicans coming in. But I didn't look at Lighter Shade of Brown as fucking just, like, nah, I looked at him as just regular artists.
When I first heard of Lighter Shade Brown, like, you know, back in the day in the 90s, you know, we were watching either it's BET, The Box, or MTV, or Yo Rap, MTV Rap, whatever. And they would show Lighter Shade of Brown, you know, because I remember a lot of people don't know, they were on the soundtrack of Me Vena Loca.
Yeah.
You know, and that was just blowing up and stuff, and you had Cam, and there's a lot of, like, West Coast and Chicanos coming together, and Brownside in here, like, I think they were signed by Ruthless, I think.
Yeah, Brownside, I think.
Yeah, but it would be like, okay, they would show love and all that, but now it's like when you go to Power 106, they'll interview you, but they're not going to play your fucking music.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of politics and certain, I think, music, period.
I heard like in radio stations, you got to pay the DJ to play your shit back then.
Yeah, payola stuff. Yeah, so, I mean, that's probably true. You know what I mean? I had a few friends, because when they were doing that woe call, I won a freestyle battle back in the day. So I ended up making a lot of connections with people over there from back in the day that ended up branching out to different stations.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as far as politics, I witnessed hate on both sides. But I'm not going to say that the blacks hate on the Mexicans or whatever. I kind of feel like, yeah, I feel they're the individual. You know what I mean?
Is it like a corporate thing and stuff like that? They'll pick whoever who's coming up and big?
Well, think about it, man. If you came up, right, and you got five homies, those are your homies, right? Are you going to just say, fuck my homies, I'm going to go get that guy that I don't know?
Mm-mm. You want to get your homies.
You want to get your homies, right? So that's the way it is. If they're, say they're a Crip or a Blood or whatever, they're going to get their own homies. You know what I mean? So to do, so it's not really, I don't look at them as hating or nothing like that. There is hate, I mean, from both sides, but I don't look at it like that.
Do you feel like now, because with artists, like, hey, if I need to get my music and my name out there, I'll just go independent. And now with social media and TikTok, I mean,
I think now you can. I think you gotta, and see, I'm learning that too, because, you know, I used to, so this is what happened with me.
Because the record business, I heard, is very shady.
Oh, yes. But you know what? You know what I wish music didn't have? I wish it didn't have scammers. Everybody's a scammer in the music business. Everybody says they got a connection. And see, me being a youngster growing up in it, I was able to go through a lot of bullshit through scammers. And I was like, damn. So now I'm just like, when somebody hits me up with some scam, I'm like, bro, don't even hit me up with that bullshit.
I'll tell you off air, but there was a rapper from Compton, and I think he was his friend, and he came in, recorded, and took one of his beats without paying. Like, what the fuck? And over here, some shady shit happened. And I'm like, what, dude? Like, even sometimes maybe your best friends might fuck you over.
Yeah, that happened.
Just to get a beat or this, or try to save money because they're being frugal. I mean, that's, damn.
Hey, that happened to me. I had got a track. And that track ended up on Snoop Dogg's record. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna put their name out, but you know, I've dealt with a lot of people that dealt back, especially back in the day, dealing with artists. So I kind of learned different things, and I'm like, you know what? Now I look at it as like they're gonna get their karma served, and I have my time too.
That rap game, everyone's trying to come up, and oh my god, it just,
yeah, it's a doggy dog business. But you know what I did learn throughout all the bullshit? I learned how to create a business. And you know, like, I learned because I would have never, so I thank music for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it is hard to make money through music. Like, if a musician is saying they're making, they're balling and this and that, I'm gonna keep it real, you know what I mean? Like, music, I put all my money, I invested, you know, I had investors. I probably well over $100,000, just a couple $100,000 on music throughout my career. Did I ever receive half of that back? No, never. But what I did learn is I learned how to get into business. I learned, and I kind of want to pass that down too. Like, yo, let me show you how to run your money up. It's not, because music, I kind of feel like it, the hip-hop game sells you this dream, and it's not real. They're selling you a dream, like you're going to be this big baller and all this. And I'm like, nah, let me show you the real game. Because these rappers ain't showing you the real game. They talking about gang banging and all that shit. Mm-hmm. Nah, that ain't the real game.
It's a business. Because I remember back in the day when we used to buy CDs and records and tapes, you were making money. But now it's like, it really depends how many downloads you get from Spotify and this. There is a story. I heard that Pharrell Williams from the Neptunes, mm-hmm. When he had that one song called Happy he made, and it was billions, YouTube only paid him like $5,400. Like, where's all the money? Like, that's the thing. It was like, should I invest, and I'm only gonna get less back in here? I just really don't know how they make their money. But I heard, like, if you want to make some real money, you gotta start doing concert shows and stuff like that, or merch.
Yeah, definitely merch. And I guess you can give King Lil G props for that, because mm-hmm. he created his merch,
mm-hmm.
and I think that kind of branded off pretty good. A lot of people get into certain merch, and if they got that fan base, they can really collect and do stuff.
Did you hear the episode with him and Hoodstock?
I heard about it. I haven't listened to it though. But
there were some good lessons. But I feel like it should have been. I was expecting maybe Gil from Eric and Cholo should just take that interview, because I know there's more to King Lil G has to say. Because there's one thing about it, I know it's about King Lil G. Like, he doesn't do that much interviews. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like doing interviews. Just want to be himself.
Yeah.
And I just kind of feel like, you know, there's certain podcasts where it'd be like, I don't know if I'm ready for this because of the energy.
Yeah.
But he has some, he spits some game and all got that stuff. Because, I mean, he's blowing up with numbers, the concert shows, and it's good music and stuff that. So seeing Conejo, seeing all these, I mean, they're all going to come up. But, it's just like, we shouldn't be bashing on each other. We should be helping each other.
Nah, I think what it is with music is like rap. The rap game is very, you got a lot of egos you're dealing with.
So correct.
People with egos, that's why people would say, oh, they'll invite me to shows, and they're like, you want to go, such and such is going to be there. I'm like, bro, I don't give a shit. It's no disrespect to them.
That's the same thing with podcasts.
Yeah. I'm like, look it, bro. It's just, to me, it's an ego thing. You know what I mean? You're going to meet somebody, and I guarantee you they're going to have this ego, right? And I could be wrong, because I might feel that way most of the time, because not every time is going to be like that. But I'm just saying that, look it, I feel like artists, yeah, we should build. I think us artists are waiting to get picked all the time. Like, we want to get picked for, I don't know, get on a label or get on something.
Waiting for that call.
Waiting for that call instead of creating and building. And then somebody might say, hey, this dude's dope or something like that. And then they just established themselves. Mm. I think, I don't know King Little G's story, but I'm pretty sure he kind of did something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I have to look into it more to really understand. And that's the thing. Have you, now that switching gears with podcasts, because, you know, have you ever, you know, had any beats with other podcasts?
Nah, I, you know what? I started, right? I just started. And my thing, man, is, I haven't had. I did the Tony A. This is like the, I might have did something like way back in the day, but nah, this is something.
Yeah.
This is like something new to me. I'm just kind of like, let's do it. Let's have fun, man.
I've been doing podcasts for 6 years, and, you know, you're going to meet your fair shares of people. Like, you know, go by energy, kind of fill them out. And at the same time, there's some at the past I kind of regret doing. But to me, people's like, oh, Mega Man, just take the L. So now I don't see it as an L. I see it as a lesson.
Lesson
you
know,
just,
learned, right?
You just mature and get more experience. And that's the thing about podcasts, because everyone's trying to get their name out there. But this is what I heard, I'll tell you off air, that a lot of podcasters and stuff, like, if, like, let's say you had a guest on, and it's like, oh, that person's like, why'd you do his fucking podcast, do mine, I bring more numbers than him. Like, that's what they do. They're so shady people like that.
You know what it could be too, is because, you know how I'm doing the strip club thing, and I, there's not, I don't know who else is doing it. You know, I'm pretty sure they're gonna come out.
The only podcast I know who talks about strip clubs and all that is George Perez Stories.
Okay,
you should be a, you'll be a good guest on his show.
So, okay, so yeah,
because he's from Orange County.
Like, think about it, bro. Like, I'm an actual fucking manager, rapper manager, right? An actual guy that throws his own events, knows all these girls, and I bring them on my show and talk about experiences. Now, I don't know who else. Like, they could talk about it, but have they really lived it? Mm-hmm. Like, I've actually have experiences.
Yeah, I think you're the first. Yeah. Because the thing is, your podcast, and I'll give you, I'm going to give you a lot of praise. You're original. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to stay original, because when you see other podcasters, they talk about reactions and this, talk about whatever. Be original. What you're doing is you're bringing strippers or adult entertainers, you know, and all that, and you're interviewing them, and they were like, oh, I didn't know about this. I don't know this person went through that. And you have a lot of good questions where I was like, wow, it makes me very intrigued.
Yeah, you know, one thing, like, somebody might say, well, why did you start that, right? Mm-hmm. I said, well, to me, yeah, we might look at these girls a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. But I've always looked at them like, yo, they got a story, bro. Like, let them share their story. Let me give them a platform to talk about what they want to talk
about.
Give
them some shine.
Yeah, let me give them some shine. We talk, fuck around, talk about some shit. So, yeah, I'm just like, right, I'm at a stage right now, bro. Like, I want to enjoy life, bro. Like, I just want to have fun. If someone's being a player hater from Alpha Beta, then I'm like, do your
thing. Alpha Beta.
Yeah, right? Like, if you being a hater straight up, right, that's cool with me. I'm not tripping. Like, shit, bring it on, bro. Like, I ain't really tripping.
I know. Just people just, hey, just enjoy the ride, you know? And that's one thing I like about podcasting. You know, podcasting, it can make or break you.
Yeah,
but it's fun.
Yeah.
But it's hard at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing. Okay, so we've been doing this for – shit, we've probably been doing this for like under a year, bro. But we've been working on it for about a year, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been working on like doing, and it is a lot of work. Trying to get the girls there, trying to get. So I know, like, when you told me to come through, I'm like, bro, I'm there. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. I know what it is, because these girls come out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit, I know what it is, and let's do it.
Have you ever had any guests that were supposed to come on and they canceled in the last minute?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
I hate that. You got to have a plan B and C.
You know what I do? I book 3 girls at a time.
Bro.
You know what I mean?
Genius right there. That's why you always have a backup plan.
Yeah, book 3 girls at a time, you're at least going to have one come through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah. From doing podcasts, are you a type of person when you like to look at your episodes and be like, okay, I think I did this, I'll fix this and all? Because I like to have my notepads and I like to write down my strong points and my weak points, what I did wrong.
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to learn from you on this, because I never done that, but now I'm going
to
learn.
Yeah, because the thing is, when I rarely do videos, but I like to watch the episode like 5 times and be like, why are you doing that for? I like to write down, because there's things. I'm not the best, but I like to be a perfectionist.
Yeah.
I like to have fun, maybe like kind of make it more smooth where it really depends on the guest that you bring on and the energy, and have a really smooth, comfortable episode where you can just be yourself, because there's a lot of podcaster hosts or guests that they're just very, like, they're tight and they freeze up and they just yes, no, maybe. I hate those.
Yeah, you know what I have been doing? So now I'm actually doing research and writing down. So what I used to do when I first started, I'll just freelance it. Just
oh, hell go. Yeah.
I just, and then I started saying, nah, I got to get better. And even I was even saying my speech, I got to get more fluent with my vocabulary. Like my vocabulary, oh, I say like a lot. So now I'm trying to work on that. I'm just trying to, just like you said, just trying to get better at talking, trying to get better. Like I'm trying to listen and react.
Yeah.
To
I like to do where I like to observe, listen, and just stay quiet and let the guests talk, because this is your episode. This is your story. I want you to shine. And that's where I feel a lot of hosts, they want to do all this stuff and over talk, but let your guests speak. And I always tell podcasters this, invite the people that you already know and you already fuck with, mm-hmm. like always. And you know their story, you follow them on their journey and all that. And so when you bring on, you already know them, because that's the thing where people do not make the time and effort to get to know each other. And that's where a lot of beef and situations happen. And that's why, in a way, I'm more old school, where I like to talk to you on the phone or meet up in person to get to know you.
Yeah, get to
know
me, yeah.
How often people do that, sit down and get to know you?
That's true. Yeah, right? Because everybody got a story. You got a story, right? Shit, every one of us have a story.
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking about, legacy. Like, it doesn't really, like, some people might say, oh, this is all an illusion. That's cool. But let's embrace the illusion and make the best of it. Shit, we're having a life experience right now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's create a story.
Correct.
And let's share that story.
And, you know, I'll say this also, because a lot of people care about clouts and numbers. I used to be like that. But now I just want to push out a good episode. I don't care about numbers like I used to anymore.
You know what? And you might be dropping some gems. Somebody might not hear it next week.
Correct.
Maybe a month later, they might listen to it. Like, mm-hmm. somebody might be going through something. Like, I've done, like, I did this song, A Soldier Never Dies, with John B., right?
Mm-hmm.
Did this song.
Best R&B singer.
Yeah, so I did this song, and this dude, I had gave my barber, I gave him a CD.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it to another barber. So one day, I went to the barber. This might have been months after I gave him that CD. The barber that was cutting my hair, he gave it to the other barber. That other barber ended up cutting my hair. And he tells me, he says, you know what? I never listened to that song, but I lost my brother. And now that song is me and my dad's favorite song. And I was like, damn, I didn't know that. And he was in the military. So I'm like, right now, like, for instance, if you were to go through my database of music,
mm-hmm.
like, just hearing me, you might not feel me. That might happen.
But you might feel some other person.
Yeah, but check this out. If you really hear some of my work, some of that shit might grow on you. You know what I mean? So that's what I kind of look at. Like, it might not be right now. It might not resonate with you right now, but it might resonate with you a year from now. Same thing with podcasts or something else.
You know, I noticed about, because there's a lot of people who are dealing with mental illness and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably battling through depression, anxiety, or grief, or loss of loved one. Everything. But there is people out there that will gravitate towards your music or to your podcast or mine or anyone else because you made their day.
Yeah, you know what? This is how I feel. I don't know if you feel like this too. I feel like I'm an entertainer.
Yeah.
Like, let me entertain.
Yeah.
Like, let's have fun. Like,
the four things I learned about podcasts: you want to entertain, you want to have fun, you want to push out the message, but at the same time, you want to be informative.
Informative.
That's the thing, what you do. As long as you're having fun. And I see a lot of people like, oh, I'm not going to do podcasts because my numbers are low. Like, who gives a care, man? You push, keep on doing it.
Yeah, if you enjoy it, do it, right?
Because a lot of people don't know this. We're in the golden age of podcasts, and there's a lot of Latino, Latina coming up. And this is our time to shine. We're taking over the podcast game.
Hey, you want to know what's interesting, too, is that, like, do people really watch TV that much anymore? I don't.
If it's YouTube and all that, but it just really depends, because the thing of what I learned is they're watching YouTube, they're watching Instagram and TikTok.
So this is an interesting thing, right? Like, you know how we got TV shows and
yes.
stuff? Like, do people go on TikTok to watch those little clips of the TV shows?
Yeah.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, because when I'm on it, I see more, you know, I'm on my little spiritual journey. I'm trying to get game from different things. And mm-hmm. I kind of pick and choose what game is sounds correct or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, so I do feel like we're in a different, like you said, a golden age of creating content, creating, just being who we are, showcasing who we are.
Yeah, because the thing is, like,
Just not to.
Go for it.
Can I get another beer?
Oh, it's right there. Open that refrigerator. Yeah, it's open right there, baby. We got another beer. I'm cool with mine, dude.
You don't want another one?
Nah. Well, yeah, give me another one. I'll take one more.
Hey, bro, I haven't drank. You know what? I'm trying to lose some weight right now. And
I know. But yeah. Fat boy season still wins, so we get all the ladies.
So I'm like, fuck it, right? We got to drink
something. So I want to talk about something a little crazy. Let's talk about the little AVN conventions, little porn stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you got some stories with those and shit. Because I always been... Back in the day, you see some porn stuff here and there, but there's some porn women. They got some crazy ass stories.
Definitely, man. You can check out an episode I did with Savannah Ginger. She's a, I think you did watch it, right? Mm-hmm. She's a twin, and her sister's Havana Ginger. They're the Havana Ginger.
I thought it was the Ortega sisters. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I do know who they are.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah.
Cream pies.
So, no, she's wild, man. They're wild. They're freaks. They down for the get down.
They're a freak. And I remember that episode. She was saying, like, if she's feeling it, she's feeling it. And, you know, if that person has game, like, dude, I'm fucking horny. I'll fuck that motherfucker.
Yeah, if she's horny, she want to get it in.
But I wonder with the porn business, I hear, like, a lot of crazy stuff. Like, I guess in a way, like, the men, when they start porn, like, they do gay porn?
I don't know anything about it.
And then they fuck girls?
I don't know
back
anything.
Back in the day. Allegedly.
I don't know anything about the male porn. I just look at it. I'm not in that industry. I know a bunch of porn girls that do porn. They're homegirls of mine or they're mm-hmm. girls that I know. You know what? Maybe that might... I don't know. I don't know. That might be true. I have no clue.
Have you heard any crazy porn stories like some of the ladies that you interviewed?
Yeah. So we did one with this girl, Ricky Rax, who mm-hmm. I've been knowing her for years. But she was saying that... she... During a porno, okay, so she was shooting with this dude, and this dude just pulls out a tuna can and starts eating a bunch of tuna. And he starts eating the tuna, and then, so they're about to shoot, you know, they're getting start, and he starts trying to mack her down. He's trying to kiss her and tongue her up after he just ate the tuna.
Carry on.
So he ate the tuna, and she's saying in the porno, now I haven't went back and watched it, but she's saying she was trying to push him off. Like, get away from me because he said it was disgusting. He smelled like tuna. Like, he just ate a whole tuna can right in front of her.
I heard a story, and Ron Jeremy, I think he was doing a television show, whatever. He talks about, like, you know, there are some women who are very stinky. So he's like, oh, I'm going to have to do a performance with this woman.
Stinky. Instead of,
oh, yeah, I mean stinky.
Stinky.
I mean stinky. So he'll be like, okay. Like, you don't want to put women out on blast. So he's like, okay, everyone, before we fuck, let's all take a shower, freshen up and all that shit and just do our thing because you don't want to fuck up like a stinky ass girl.
Nah, you don't. And that happened at the strip club. There were stinkies.
Really?
You know when someone was humming. You say, oh, her punani got to be humming. You know what I mean?
Really?
So, oh, there were stinkies up in there. Hell yeah. There was, like, you knew when a girl would come up, you're like, oh, damn. Even the DJ would be like, oh, damn, she stinks. We knew what's up.
Really?
Think like armpits or some shit. Oh, there was one time.
Whoa.
There was one. Let me share this story real quick. There was one time. We always had this customer. He's a baller. He used to sit at the very end. He's a little pervert baller guy. So he called. He said, Vince, I need two girls to come through. I said, send him two girls. So one of the girls I haven't saw in a while. She comes through. They're dealing with him. He usually tips at least $1,000 to $2,000 a night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the back office. I get a knock on the office. One of the girls says, hey, that other girl I'm with, he doesn't want her there. She stinks. And I said, what do you mean? He says, she stinks like her clothes or something smells nasty. Like it. And I said, well, have her change that shit. Tell her to go in the restroom, go change that shit. So she had her go to the restroom. She told her, like, hey, you know, you're not smelling the best. So she goes and she goes and changes. She goes back, and that guy ended up getting up and leaving. She was mad, and she said she still fucking stinks. So I end up sending her home.
Is it because maybe she doesn't believe in hygiene or deodorant?
Some girls don't give a fuck.
Did she smell like bacon and bologna and Budweiser put together?
Yeah, I didn't smell her. But I sent her home. I said, baby, you gotta get showered up, change. wear some deodorant. Don't be coming here no more like that.
Oh my God. Have you ever hooked up with someone who was a stinky ass girl? We're like, yo, you gotta get the fucking stepping.
Hey, when I was younger, I had.
Oh, we were savages back then. Yeah. We didn't get fucked.
Hey, I had this one girl come through, man. Her punani was humming. Check this out. Her punani was humming. So I made her. So the first time.
Now, before you start the story, a lot of people don't know, like, why does he keep on saying humming? What's the definition of humming for the new people?
It's making noise with the smell.
We with the queefy season.
Yeah, yeah. It was stinky. So so the first time, I think I might have banged her or something because, like, with the finger banger. Because I was like, baby, I'll just finger bang you.
Oh, yeah. You got to do it. Yeah, yeah. Can't put the whole thing in there.
Yeah, so I just did that. So the second time, she says, oh, I'm taking a shower. I just got out the shower. I'm thinking in my head, oh, yeah, it's going to be nice now. Maybe that was just a bad day. She comes through. We trying to do her thing, and I smelled that shit. That shit just, I was like, oh, God damn. And I said, baby, you just play with yourself. That turns me on. So I let her play with herself, and the whole time I was like, man, bitch, you got to hurry up. And I got the fuck out of there. Didn't get it. I said, I ain't sticking my shit in that.
Maybe she has a yeast infection. That's what I'm thinking. Nah,
I think some girls, maybe they just have a certain odor. I don't know.
Have you ever had any, like, voluptuous strippers?
Okay, at our club.
Dortha season, man.
Yeah, you know what? Man, our club was so picky. We've had. I had this one girl, big old titties, big old ass. Are you just talking about a fat girl? Just a fat girl.
Because there's a thing where husbands or they have a most hottest wife. You're like, ugh, this doesn't turn me on. I want to be with like okay or a dirt dog girl. Like, well, fuck, get yours, dude.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Hashtag Rudy of Valencia.
So I'll tell you a story. One of the guys, shout out to my boy Marcelo over at Sam's Hot Bra. So if you're ever in downtown LA, go check it out. So what happened was I had these girls come in for an audition. They wanted an audition. And one of the girls was pretty big. So she auditions, and I said, I'm not hiring her. So she comes in. So what would happen during the auditions, they'll go audition, I'll watch them dance, and then they'll come back to the office. You know, how am I hired? How did I do? So I said, baby, check this out. You know what? You're just not what we're looking for right now. But I want to thank you for coming out. Appreciate it. Just not what we're looking for. She said, okay. She gets up, leaves. Chilling in the office. She knocks on the door. Open it. What's up, baby? She's like, I need to know why you didn't hire me. I said, you're just not what we're looking for. And she persisted. Well, why? What are you looking for?
She wants you to say it.
Yeah. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be honest. Since you really want to know so bad. I said, baby, look it. I'm not in the greatest of shapes, and neither are you. You're a little too hefty, and that's the problem. And she says, what? And I said, you're too hefty? No problem, though. I'm hefty, too, and I need to lose weight, too. Same thing with you. If you want to work here, I told her this. I said, I'm not the one working on stage, though. Ain't nobody going to pay to see me. So maybe in another month or so, if you want to... If you really want the job, you got to go back and exercise, and I'll bring you back. But right now, you're a little bit too big.
She's like, well, okay, I'm going to go work out.
Okay, so she got up, mad, left, slammed the door. I said, well, get the fuck out of here, bitch. That's her, you know.
Have you ever had a stripper where, you know, like, they've been stripping to, like, maybe they were, like, 18, and now they're, like, 40-something?
Yes, I have. But hold on, I got to go back to that other story, and then we get back to that.
Carry on.
So that girl that left, the hefty one. The security guard just comes in. He says, hey, there's some girl out there throwing we had VIP cones in the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
There's some girl throwing cones out there going crazy. So I was like, what? So I go walk out there. It's that girl. She's saying, fuck you. You're calling me fat, this and that. I'm like, are you for real? She's grabbing the cones, throwing them, just going crazy, making a big old scene. And I end up saying, bitch, get the fuck out of here. So that's what happened with her. But back to the other ones. Yeah, we had this girl. I'm going to say her nickname. Ain't nobody going to know who she is anyways. We had this girl named Sage. Old Sage. And she might have been stripping since she was about 18. And she was an older woman, and she used to like her get her... She would get drunk and fall asleep with the customers. In the middle. Like, she would just pass out. And the customer... She would be passed out. The customer he'd be massaging her feet and shit. And
whoa.
And one day she came in the back in the locker room. She peed on herself and started throwing up. And I let that day slide. I tried to give her water and then she did it like two more times. And I said, bitch, get the fuck out of here. Don't come back.
A lot of those strippers, I heard they bring their problems to the strip club. Hey,
you know what? Like, you would think it's brutal, right? The way, I mean, it was fun, though. Like, just talking to, communicating with them, because I would fuck with them a lot, and they'll fuck with me. But, yeah, I think sometimes they need, you know what it is? Is they lack, like, a father figure. They need, like, a father figure, and they need somebody to tell them the truth.
Daddy issues.
Daddy issues.
There's a lot of daddy issues of women out there.
That's the daddy issues, man. So, me, I felt like I was the guy to give them game. I was always trying to drop girls game. Mm-hmm. And now some of them just, they didn't, they just live reckless. They had a reckless life.
Is it hard for a woman to strip, but to get out of the strip club? Like, you know, we talked about earlier, like, get your money and get out. But they stay like, I'm stuck. Like, I need this money.
Think about it, man. Like, you're there, right? Some of those girls, they could make $3,000 a night if they really work at it, you know? So think about if you're making... Say, I don't know, say you're making $5,000-$6,000 a week, right? Like, why would you want to go do something else? But check this out. That's all they know. They don't know. They don't have a father figure. They don't have the guidance to say, hey, invest that money. You want to do a business? You want to invest that some stocks, some real estate?
Some go to college.
Some of them do, yeah.
To be an RN.
To RN, right? That's a common thing. But, yeah, like, if someone was to say, hey, buy some duplexes, get triplex, get a fourplex, do something, invest that money.
Hustle.
But what do? They go buy those, what are the Balenciaga shoes? I don't even know the day. They get those shoes, or they might get some Louis Vuitton, or they just eat out every, you know, that's the stripper lifestyle.
Damn.
They get expensive hotels, expensive liquor, expensive.
They're not investing. They're not saving. They're just wasting that money.
Wasting the money. And that life is a fast life. And a lot of them are drugged out. So they might be on some coke, whatever. And they just waste their money.
Have you seen a lot of people like that? Like women, like drugged and coke out, where it's like, yo, you can't work here no more. You're done.
Yeah, all the time. I see some girls are so fucked up. They go in there fucked up. And then you just like, bitch, get the fuck out. And I tell them straight like that.
Mm-hmm. What about with the women when they meet some of the men that, and they're crazy fanatics, like stalkers, like, oh, I'm not gonna have you strip for that guy, or if not, I'm gonna fucking kill you. I heard some stories about that.
About girls
like that in Sacramento.
About so explain
crazy shit.
Okay, so the girl would say if you tell another girl that?
No, if a guy always has that one girl. Uh-huh. Like, oh, that's my girl right there. Like, she's only danced for me.
Uh-huh.
But if that girl's dancing with another guy, he gets jealous, like, and he tells that girl, like, hey, if you're dancing and he's paying you, if I see you dance one more time, I'm going to come back and fucking kill you.
I don't, you know, I don't think I have had that. I've had where they get mad, yeah. Mm-hmm. They might want to start a fight or something. I've had that where they start at the customers and going outside, and we let them fight sometimes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've seen them fighting in the middle of the street. I had one customer, he was, I guess, you could say he's a wannabe pimp, or maybe he's official. He had a hoe that worked with us. And she was a cool hoe because she made money. This hoe made money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to call her that, but that's what she was. Shout out to the hoes. So she was a hoe, and he was a cool dude, man. He was a cool dude, and he ended up getting into it with a customer with the bartender. And he was calling the bartender's customer a trick and this and that. So we said, hey, you guys have a problem, go take it outside. So they end up fighting outside, doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't allow him back in the club.
Damn, man. That's, I mean, there's like endless of stories of like strippers. I'm like, I want to see this stuff because it's just... It's crazy stories.
There is. I mean, we used to have dudes go in there, like wannabe pimp guys. They'll go in there.
Oh.
Yeah, they'll go in there.
To get to recruit their girls.
Try to recruit, right?
So I see. Is that true? Yeah, I see pimping.
They'll try to go in there, right? And they'll get 1,000 and ones. And the guys will walk around with the 1,000s of ones like this, just walking around, not throw a damn dollar. And they're just sitting like they're balling. And I'm like, once you start catching on to what they're doing, they're trying to recruit, like, they're trying to impress the girls. Like, oh, I got this 1,000, come fuck with me. But they don't give them nothing. So then a lot of the girls are like, oh, they're idiots. Get them out of here. Or, you know, once we caught wind of that, when we were like, all right, you're either going to spin or you get the fuck out of here.
When you see pimps like that trying to recruit, your security more like, okay, that guy, don't let him in.
Yeah. I did try to put some restrictions on people. We got so many variety of customers. You kind of know, though. Like, right when they come in, you kind of know just on their attitude. Like, one time we were closing, and 15 minutes in, we're 15 minutes before we closed. A guy tries to come in. He's banging on the door. The security opens it. He's trying to come in, and the security's telling him, like, no, you know, we're 15 minutes to closing. He says, I just want to throw some money and have a drink.
He's like one of those last-minute sharpers.
Last minute. So he starts getting an argument. They call me over there. I go out there. Like, what's going on? It's like, this guy's trying to – I recognize him because he does spend money. And I'm like, bro, I'm sorry. We're, you know, now it's like 10 minutes. I'm like, we're about to close right now. Like, I would, but we're literally about to close.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I want to get a drink. I said, should we call the last call a long time ago? Like, it's already past time. So he starts arguing with the security guard. That guy ended up going to the car. He parked in the front of the club. He ended up getting his gun. Then one of my securities got a gun. So now they got two guns pointed at each other. And it was about to be a shootout. And I'm like, in my head, he's mad because he couldn't get in. He comes here at 1:45, and we didn't let him in at 1:45 in the morning. So, yeah, we had a lot of stories like that where dudes would just flip off and start tripping.
Are there strippers clubs out there that are open 24/7?
They can't be. Now, maybe legally, not that I know of in California. Okay. Now, legally, you can do it after hours, but you can't sell alcohol.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Yeah. A lot of people were like, oh, man, just get me in and I'll have some drinks and shit, like 24/7. But that's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've dealt with rowdy crowds. I mean, we dealt with crowds where it's so packed, it's like sardines in there. You can't even walk. Or, you know what we had a lot? Because we didn't allow smoking. So there would be guys in there trying to give me $1,000 to allow them to smoke weed in the club and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And then sometimes they'll get mad, like, they'll just roll it up, and you're like, hey, turn that, you got to turn that out. Are they standing on the couches? We got brand new couches, they're standing on them, not giving a fuck. So, yeah, we dealt with a lot of different things.
That all they have to do instead of smoking weed, just take edible.
That's true, right?
Yeah, they're going to get fucked up anyway and spend more money. Oh, here's $1,000.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, look it, man. I mean, I've had guys, and I had so many different type of customers in there. I've had guys that just, they'll cash at me $1,000. And I'll charge him. You know, one guy tried to look out for him. He was acting like he was cool. Another manager was like, he's a cool dude. Look out for him. So I was like, all right, cool.
I didn't charge him
a fee for giving him $1,000.
Yeah.
So I give him $1,000, and then he wants to get another $1,000. But you could tell he's a little arrogant. He gets another $1,000, and this time I charge him. But this time his $1,000 wasn't going through. It got bounced back. But I had already given him $1,000.
Mm.
So I said, hey, bro, I'm going to have to, like, you got to do this transaction again. You know, I'm trying to be cool with him. He's like, nah, it's going to work. It's going to work. So he's messing with it. And then he starts telling me, look it, bro.
Oh, for his card or for his cash?
He's doing a Cash App transaction.
You know, there's a limit to that. That's probably he's probably limit for the day.
Yeah, so I say, I can't give you the $1,000 because your $1,000 is not going through. He's like, well, just loan it to me. I don't even know you, bro. Like, I can't. I mean, loan you the money. How am I going to loan you the money? So he starts throwing a fit and making a big old scene. And, yeah, it turned into a big old thing.
Shit.
Man. Over $1,000, yeah.
I'm learning so much to the point. I think when I go pay a visit to you, I'm going to be like, yo, that's Mega Man. I said, look, ladies, I'm going to get Modelo's, no Bud Lights. I don't want to be that cheap guy. I'll spend some money with you as long as you know how to twerk. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
Hygiene's correct.
Hygiene's correct. We'll work. We'll get the right ones, man, on your table.
Shit,
we go out and go party and throw some money and have fun, man.
When you're not managing or doing music, do you have any hobbies like to do when you're not doing all that stuff?
Yeah. So pretty much what I like to do, man, I'm kind of a boring guy, man. I like to...
Come on, Doc.
Yeah. I like to read. I'm trying to...
Hey, that's good.
I like to try to educate my mind a little bit, exercise my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I like just being out in the wilderness and shit, just kind of seeing...
Go camping.
Yeah, you know, I don't really do that, but like one time I just randomly took my mom. We went up the whole coast, the Big Sur, Monterey. So I like stuff like that.
I used to go to Santa Cruz and all. Yeah, that there's a freeway that takes you all the way to Frisco. You go up to like the beautiful.
All the way up to.
The only thing I have a problem with it, be careful with those rocks that are coming down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I like just, like, I'm super spontaneous, man. So I just might randomly be like, yo, let's go here, let's go there. I might, like, when I had a girl, like, I would be like, yo, let's go here. We'll do random stuff.
That's what's up. You know, with my page, I just look up stories and just post conspiracies or post nothing but facts.
I like that stuff, too, man. I'm into conspiracies.
Talk to me, dog. Yeah. You got any new stuff?
What are you on right now?
Well, dude, like, right now we're talking about what's going on in Ohio.
Oh, yeah, the train stuff.
The right? Chemicals. Yeah, they're waiting for it to fade, but the only thing is now it's pouring acid rain where a lot of the animals and dogs and the fish are all dying, and it could be a reaction. And this is a thing where conspiracy time that they saying that the Russians derailed that train for that shit to happen. And a lot of people are focusing on that and the UFOs and all that. But to me, I think I posted it. You see, because I know you look at my page frequently.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a false flag. Yeah. You know, they want war. We're going to go to war, you know, with China, Ukraine. And I mean, China is going to war with the United States, Ukraine and Russia. But no one's not really talking about India. India wants to go to war with China. Mm. And China doesn't want that. They don't want that shit because the thing is I don't know if you heard about Apple. They're switching all up. They're taking whatever stuff that they're getting made in China and they're going to India. And that's going to be a major impact. But at the same time, you know, everyone's not really talking about it, but they should. There's more list of people coming from the Epstein's Island who was there. Yeah. And also, if you watch C-SPAN, the whole Twitter Joe and Biden Hunter laptop thing, a lot of stuff is coming out where it's pretty disgusting.
Long list of people. See, I've been knowing about that stuff for quite some time.
It's bad.
I always knew, like, Hollywood's super weird. And like I said, I think me doing music kind of opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. But yeah, no, you know what? I kind of look at everything like as WWF, bro, like, or WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, like, everything is all staged.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And I probably will get people not really liking me because of this, because I feel like everything.
Because the thing is, if people are not going to like you or me, but we're seeing, but them, they're like, no, I don't believe it. Like, there's a lot of things I'll tell you straight up right now. Like, a lot of things, all this stuff happening. But the thing is, a lot of people are saying you're going to see a lot of chaos and everything because people are talking about the four fallen angels that were unleashed at the Euphrates Rivers are causing havoc. No one really talks about that.
Okay, so I hear a lot of different theories going on, right? I don't know what's 100% accurate, what's not. You know, I hear about the Anunnaki. I hear about a bunch of things, right?
There's a lot of bases with the Anunnakis. Everything's like there's a base. There is bases what they were doing to use the humans to teach them knowledge, to have them as slaves so we could take their gold so they can save their planet.
Yeah, then you hear the Draconians have underground shit and the Anunnaki. So you hear a bunch of different
reptilians and
yeah, you hear a bunch of different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm open on stuff, and I know shit is real. Like look at this. You know, I see a lot of flat Earth stuff what you're posting, but I've done research on this. Mm-hmm. Like I researched Donald. I'm over here thinking about Donald Byrd, the singer. Not Donald Byrd. I'm over there. If you look up Donald Byrd, he got some great music, old school music.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Admiral Byrd.
Admiral Byrd.
See, I got my music/conspiracy shit going on right now. So Admiral Byrd talks about, and I mean, he says it on the record as far as, you know, what is it, Operation
High Jump.
High Jump, right? I know there's a bunch of Operation Paperclip, Fishbowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, he basically is telling you what's up, right? So, yeah, I've done a lot of research on that, and I do know, and I believe that. I do believe there's, like, the land of custodians, land of Mars, land of Anunnakis. There's things that expand over. They give you clues all day long on movies, TV shows.
That's what they have to do, where they talk about the movie. Before they do the sacrifice, they have to talk about it in the movie, what we're going to do.
I heard it's like a karma thing too, because they're letting you know, but it's not. It's their way of not getting the bad karma.
The thing is, a little conspiracy about that. Where's all the old maps? Because there's more civilizations. Some of these old maps had the city of Atlantis.
Atlantis.
And all that, and more civilizations. now that you have the treaties with the North Pole, with the Arctic Circle, because that's where the foundation, where they founded the Garden of Eden, was on top in the Arctic Circle, and you have the fallen angels and their civilizations, and now there's a treaty up there in the Arctic Circle, the North Pole, but in the South Pole, we have Antarctica. You can't go around it because a lot of people think like we're living in a dome. You can't go past this.
If you seen, you know what I find interesting? Like I do study movies. Like I watched, as far as the treaty, yeah, I do. I'm aware of that. And you know, even Admiral Byrd talks about that. They went out there, right? And he went on that mission.
Passed the mountain, and where's like the weather changed. It was like 76 degrees, and he looked down. Oh my gosh, that's a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, and he talked about there was land that was soon, it was becoming more populated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they talk about it, and it is funny that no one actually owns that. That's like the only land that has a treaty, and no one actually owns it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I believe there's, I mean, me working around that, you know, I did some PR work too, because I don't know if you knew this, but I had a magazine.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had a magazine, and we used to do like red carpets and all this stuff. So I've been around, like, I would see things. Like, I went to the Kodak Theater, right? And I remember seeing the Jimmy Kimmel show across the street from the Kodak Theater. Mm-hmm. And it said Masonic Temple. And I said, why is they doing a Masonic Temple? Why is Jimmy Kimmel shooting in a Masonic Temple? Then they have a big-ass thing of Inky right there in the Kodak Theater. Mm-hmm. You go in that shopping mall, big-ass thing of Inky right there. And I'm like, they're giving you messages. They tell you everything, even the ambulance, right? The Caduceus and all that with the snakes going. Like, if you research this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're giving you everything. Everything is in your face, but we don't ever quite. Like, there's symbols everywhere that let us know what's happening, but we're not. We just think everything is, like, real. We think and I'm like, nah, this shit. So now I look at it. This is WWE, and let's have fun with this. You want a game? Let me be part of the game, and let's have fun with the game.
You see a lot of conspiracies. You know, they're pushing that shit on fucking TikTok. I mean, whoa. Did you ever hear the story why NASA discontinued exploring the ocean?
No, you know what? Maybe I have, but you can.
So the reason NASA stopped exploring the ocean because there was a lot of sea creatures. Like, a lot of, like, you know, we hear the stories of sea creatures, prehistoric. Yeah. You know, Megalodon, you hear. It's out there. I think they found the Leviathan. Mm. You know, it talks about in the Bible and stuff like that. And this is where I'm coming to this, because when we talked about the ice walls and everything, there's every year, it's called the Summer of Gates. When the ice melts in the summer, they leave gaps open for UFOs, aliens, sea creatures come in and out and stuff like that. So the government is protecting that so the humans won't get out. We're slaves to them. So what these sea creatures and all this stuff is coming out, they're coming from the abyss ocean in the other dimension, you know, yeah. In the ice wall. And that's where, and also, don't quote me on this, guys. I'm doing some research. They said with the Mayans and everything, 10 to 15 million people, like, vanished. They went past the ice wall to escape the persecution, what was going on when the Spaniards are invading all the countries. It's like, fuck this. And they started going to past the ice wall to go to make their civilization at the Ancestral Republic.
You know, did you see that movie Wakanda?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind
of City of Atlantis.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because, like, dude, like, correct me if you feel I'm wrong on this, mm-hmm. but the Wakandans, is that what they are? Mm-hmm. They go and they have access. The guy opens up, I guess that would be like a dome or something, right? Like a wall, some type of wall. Mm-hmm. They go past, and they're the only ones that can go past it.
Yeah.
But the Mayan, he somehow got past it. And they're like, how did you get past this? Like, no one can go past this. And he sure how from underground went past that.
The water.
That water. I thought that was kind of interesting because I'm like, I just feel like they leave clues for us to kind of know what's up. But I don't think it really registers in our mind.
It makes you think and wonder, you know, like, what if? You know, there's always what if. Like, I've been doing so much research about this, talk about this prehistoric, like, gigantic snake. Mm-hmm. And they said there was I posted up, and there was a snake that they found. It's supposed to be in Mexico and Peru and Brazil. But they say in Central Congo in World War II, they were looking down, like, that's a big-ass snake, like a prehistoric one. So they went down to kind of get a glance look, and it was like the snake just went up and tried to hit the plane.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it's a giant, like, 150-foot snake.
So let me ask you a question. This is something that I'm kind of interested in. Like, what do you feel our purpose is for being here?
I feel like we're in a dream.
I feel like this is a dream.
This is too. A matrix.
Yeah, the simulation. So I believe that too. I do believe everything is kind of like an arcade, kind of like a GTA. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, my question is, yeah, like, all right, if it is a game and all this stuff, right, we're in a dream, are we creating this experience?
Like, kind of more like that movie Total Recall.
Total Recall, where he wanted to go to Mars so bad. He was like, man. And then they just said, bam, they put that shit on.
I mean, it makes me think and wonder, what if we die, do we kind of be reborn in another century or this? Do we go to, is there a heaven, there's a hell? It just really depends.
Yeah, they talk about that moon matrix, kind of the moon is something that kind of makes you reincarnate back to this. And I believe that to be true. I'll tell you why. Because if you notice, when you talk to somebody, some people, they might not understand what the fuck we're talking about. And now I came to I don't really talk to people about certain things because I understand they're not going to get it. Not everybody gets it. And I'm totally fine with that now.
I have dreams where I feel like I was reincarnated in another century, because it would always take me back to South Africa. Johannesburg.
Maybe that's where you, maybe in another life, that's what you were.
And also in Greece and also in Italy. That's what I feel like. What if, like, because you see all this stuff, like, the lookalikes of people, they look like, you know, 1800s and this. But you hear stories of time travelers too.
Definitely. So are we in agreement that, so we are in agreement as far as believing this is a simulation.
Correct.
Right, correct. So, another thing that I always kind of talking about the moon, going back to that whole scenario. So there's movies that show, I believe this. I believe we're kind of trapped in this avatar. We're trapped in here, and there's certain people that come here to wake other people up. And they level up in the game. It's like, have you seen Jumanji? You ever seen that movie?
Mm-hmm.
The new one.
So I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, watch the new one, right? So the new one, they go into a game.
Oh, okay. I know where you're going with this.
And they meet people, right? That Kevin Hart's meeting people, but he doesn't realize that dude is part of the simulation.
Gotcha.
He's like a background person. Like Dolores Cannon talks about this, but he's like a background person where he's just the same shit. He's a program. He's the same shit over and over. Mm-hmm. He's there to keep you in the program. Make a long story short, they end up meeting somebody that's been stuck in that same game, that or that same level forever. But they were there to get that motherfucker out of there. And and I kind of feel like there's certain people on this realm, like I might meet you, I might meet him, and we are here to level motherfuckers up. Mm-hmm. I feel like we do create our reality. So I am a big conspiracy guy. However, I feel like this is what I feel. I see people posting shit. I'm like, but what are you doing about it? If you really want to be a fucking, you want to be a real person, go out there and create something.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I kind of feel like, then do something else. Maybe you ain't about war. Maybe you about something else. Like me, right? If I'm going to create war, then allow me to use my voice to create a crowd of people to go with. Let me allow, whether I'm the leader or whatever, let me go out there and cause some ruckus.
I like where your head's at with this one, because I feel like with this podcast, when I post a lot of stuff, I get DMs like, yo, Megan, man, you need to calm the fuck down. You might get killed. And say, you know, what's your purpose of you doing all this stuff? And you say, you know what my purpose? My purpose is to save lives so they can wake up. Not woke. Wake up from their dream to see what's reality.
Maybe your purpose is to wake motherfuckers up that are asleep, that are stuck in this simulation.
Correct.
They got to wake up and they got to advance. Mm-hmm. And I feel like whether it's the Draconians having us here or whatever we may believe, right? Whatever the dream may be. We are stuck in this, and maybe it is like a loop that we're going round and round, and certain people are here to wake certain people up. And this is another theory. Do you believe everyone is real?
Oof, that's a good one. That's a very good question. I want to be honest, I don't have an answer for that, but that, but I'm open to it.
I struggled with that one. You know what? I started thinking like that. You heard of Dolores Cannon?
I heard of
it. She talks about like the background. Like, this is how I feel. You ever see that last, was the Last Action Hero with Arnold?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Look, I feel like I'm the fucking superstar in my realm. Now I know my power. We all got power. So now I realize like I'm the superstar. I didn't realize that. I thought I was old dumb following other people. You know what I mean? But now I believe we are the gods. I believe you are a god. We may not understand that. But now, if they got to put fluoride in your water, they got to put chemicals in your deodorant, they got to do all, manipulate you with the programming, with the music, with everything. If they got to do this much shit to you, why are they doing this to you?
Because people are waking up, and it's like, well, how can we still keep these people as slaves still?
And okay, but check this out. They're keeping you asleep. Why? Because you are a motherfucking god. You're a powerful being.
Because when you understand we're going through this great reset, and this is a thing a lot of people talk about, like, what's this great reset? The people are waking up from their dreams. It's like, oh, what are we going to do now? Throw everything at them. There's a war. There's UFO. There's this, whatever. So they can be like panic mode where we can still control their minds. And we can, if these people are living in this country and we're the government, we're the elite, we're still going to control. Because if not, like, what's going to happen? I'll give you an example. When a lot of people started waking up in the, you know, when they're living in Russia, the Soviet, the communists fell, like the people stand up. So that's why we're worried about, like, shit, the people are waking up from all these videos and this is all coming out. And it's like, what can we do to stop them so they can still be slaves? So, you know, we still control them.
Yeah, I feel like this. I feel like we're waking up, but now it's time to level up. So maybe we're waking up and we're realizing, all right, that level is a little bit low frequency. We can't fuck with that level. No, we got to elevate. Like, hasta luego, because you got us trapped in this bullshit, but this is not really us. That's why I kind of feel like, you know, like there was something, and I'm pretty sure you might have felt this way too, is that we might not feel like we belong here at certain times, or we might not fit in. I've always felt like I never really, like, even in the rap game, you know, I would try to do, you know, I'll meet all these rappers, all these people, and I never fit in really, because I wasn't out there gang banging and doing, you know what I mean? I keep it real. Like, I was around that, you know what I mean? But that wasn't me. I was always with the girls. I had the bitches, like, straight up. I always had the girls. You know what I mean?
With the type of person that you are with your music and everything, do you feel like, man, I should have been in this era? I don't like this era now.
The '80s, bro. Like, I might have been a funkster, because I like that type of. I just.
Yeah, because you like funk.
Yeah, I like fun. I like fun party. That's even as at the club. Sometimes I would DJ because I want to see people having fun. Like, I get a thrill out of seeing people having fun. Like, you can leave me alone for 3-4 hours and let me DJ, and I would get excitement just on music. I would, like, really study, like, how can I make this party crack?
Yeah, well, because the DJ has to make the party crack with the right music and this, whatever, to get the atmosphere and the party going.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of the way I look at this, I know we're talking about the conspiracy shit, but the way I look at, like, conspiracy stuff, I look at it now as, what's the experience? You know what I mean? And if you want to have an experience of causing ruckus, do that shit. You know what I mean? Really be about it. You know, because I get, like, I had this one dude, he was sending me messages, and I'm like, bro, are you going to that rally, you know, about the vaccine shit? I was, are you going? Are you... They're just sending it. You know what I mean? So I'm like, look it. If you wanna be the superstar as a conspiracy theorist, me, I'm gonna be the superstar as an entertainer. I'm gonna entertain. I might give you some game. I might plant some seeds in your mind. I'm gonna definitely try to help you level up. If you don't take it, hey, that's on you.
Damn. You know what? We gotta do a part two.
Yeah.
We gotta do a part two. We're almost at the end, but I wanna talk one last question to let you know. And I'll say this, and, you know, I love when I took a break to take care of my boy, you DM me and say, hey, man, Mega Man, I like what you do. Take all the time you need off, and you come back, you know. Just there was a time up I almost wanted to quit, you know, because I was going through so much stuff with my mom and my son. But I just want to say that kind-hearted message that you gave me, I just want to say thank you.
No problem, man. Hey, we all been, I think a lot of people, not everybody has different levels of things they go through, but many people are struggling with different emotions, different things. People go through stuff all the time. And I believe, man, we can create a better reality, you know. If we're the creators, why not?
Hell yeah. And any last words or any shout-outs?
Yeah, I want to shout out you for, you know, allowing me to come through.
You're my first guest.
Yeah, the guy recording right there. Shout out to him. I should have gave him a beer. I don't know if he drinks.
Oh, he doesn't drink.
Oh, he doesn't drink. Yeah. Give him some water. Shout out to your kids over there being patient. Gentleman Club Diary. And shout out to the crew that helped me work on that. Just everybody that supports me, I appreciate it.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, follow my boy Invincible, his podcast, Gentleman Club Diary Podcast. Shouts to East of the River Studio, Mirage, Viva Mascal, everyone. And are you only on Instagram or?
No, I'm on YouTube. You can find me on Invincible TV. Mm-hmm. That's where you'll find most of my music. I'm going to release a whole bunch of new stuff. Ooh. I have a gang of material. You can search me. It's on different stuff. I've worked with a gang of people, so yeah.
And I just want to say thank you for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. This is a good episode.
Yeah, man. I you know, we touched on strippers,
everything,
right? A little bit of everything. So yeah, man. Ever want me back on, I'd be more than happy to share.
Yeah, man. And I want to go check out your studio, check out the strip club, you know, just
let everything. Me know. My birthday's coming up, man, so we're going to go party. I'll invite you out. We'll go.
Oh, hell
I'll,
yeah.
show you, I'll show you how we party, man.
Hell yeah. So everyone follow my boy Invincible. Everyone follow the Long Beach Social Experiment podcast on IG. Everyone's all talking about what's up with the videos coming soon. It's going to be on Rumble and Spotify only because YouTube is kind of being little woke, so I'm gonna take my podcast somewhere else. And shouts to East of the River Studios, shouts to my kids, you know, and shouts to everyone listening to this episode.
Yeah, shout out to everybody taking the time to listen to me talk. And shout out to the girls that come through for, you know, supporting me too. So shout out to my ladies.
All right, ladies, Mega Man Single, what's up? All right, we're out, everyone. Late
all right late
late late late